Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. I am so looking forward to speaking with you guys today and introducing a guest that we're going to have on the show. But before we do that, make sure you hit that subscribe, like button, and give us a follow. Make sure that we can continue to bring this great and fun and awesome content that you guys love to hear. Well, today's show, we have a special guest. We've got somebody who has been blessed with the God-given talent of music, and she is a good one. We have an award-winning artist, and she is going to bless us with her story today by explaining everything that she does. She's a huge advocate for a few different causes, and she's going to describe those as we walk through the show. And she is in one of my favorite areas, and that is Western Pennsylvania. I am a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and so is she. And I love that, and I'm so ready to introduce her to you guys. And I want to introduce the award-winning artist. We call her Miss Freddie. Miss Freddie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, T.S. I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody out there. And yay, go Steelers.
All right. Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, Miss Freddie, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to kick this thing off. I want you to just talk a little bit about your journey, how God has really led you through some different things in your life and really led you to music. And just give us a picture of that journey that he has put you on.
Oh, absolutely. I love what I do. I wear many hats, but music started out actually when I was a kid, started going to church. And for some odd reason, I remember the age four, because I think that's where everything started. Mother sent me to church, and the very first song that I fell in love with is Wade in the Water. A lot of people are familiar with that. And the way the choir, you know, would sing that song. I love that song. And I actually remembered that song at a young age. I remember the lyrics. So all through my life. And as I got older, about 15, the church that I was going to, it was a Christian Methodist Episcopal church. I remember being in the choir, and I remember my first solo. Oh my God. So remember, everybody, I've never had vocal lessons in my life. So keep that in mind. I sang my first solo. It was not great. It was actually terrible. And I don't mind saying that. The church went silent. And I said, okay, Lord, this is not for me, to myself. And that's where I developed my stage fright. But throughout the years, my 20s and my 30s, you know, I would sing in a choir, which whatever area, you know, I'd move to in the church that I, you know, was a part of. Never sang a solo. I would always sing like in the background and always made sure I didn't sing loud. But 1996 was the turning point of my life. And I never really thought about joining a band or being a part of, you know, a big music production or anything like that. The guy that I was dating was a bass player, and he belonged in a blues band. And I would go see the band. They were good. They were a really great band. But one night, my youngest, who was a toddler at the time, I was singing Silent Night to him, because I would always sing the Christmas songs. I don't care what part of the year is, because my kids, and they love Silent Night. And that's one of my favorites to sing. And he heard me sing it a cappella, and he's like, hey, we're looking for a blues singer. he said, why don't you come out and join the band? And I really hesitated. Really, really was just not feeling it. So he convinced me. So I went out and I auditioned for the blues band. So the band was in one room and they had a long cord, and the band leader, and who's all ended up being my mentor, he saw that I was terrified actually. And so the court had to be 100 feet. So I went into the bathroom next door to the room, closed the door, turned on the water, and I just started singing something, just whatever, because I didn't know anything bluesy. Although I grew up in a household, my mother listened to blues, my dad listened to country. So here I am, this teenager caught in the middle. And so the band leader liked what I did. He was Big Al Levitt. And he liked what I did, and he's like, you're hired. So for a whole year, this singer sat behind the band and my boyfriend, the bass player. I was facing away from the crowd in a chair while they faced the crowd and I was singing. I did that for a year. And a lot of musicians in the area knew of me, know the story. And it was quite interesting. And so finally, Big Al said, you know, people want to hear you. And I said, well, they can hear me. He said, no, they want to see what they're listening to. You know, people are very visual at times. Yes. And he said, yes, hearing is great, but a lot of the people would like to see what they're listening to. So over the years, I had to do that. And I finally ventured off on my own. In 2002, 2003, formed my own band, still stage fright, and finally ended up with two bands and still do an acoustic trio, acoustic duo, and I'm all over the map. And I had to sit back and say, okay, Lord, this is what you wanted me to do.
Amen.
Because I was just pushing forward without thinking, like, am I supposed to do this? And every year I would say, okay, this is the last year I want to do this, because I'd rather like book shows for, band or a band or two. And something would always pull me back and say, nope, you're going to sing because this is what you're supposed to do. And, through my battle with, what I had to go through as far as health and people, there's one thing that I've noticed. And it's what I do is not mine to keep. And that's my motto. People like hearing music. They need their souls to be soothed. Mm-hmm. They really, and I've noticed that. That's something that I took for granted, because I'm like, oh, okay, let me get out there, because you're either going to like how I sing or you're not. And there's nothing I can do about that. But what I can do is show you how much it is important to me to sing, and I love what I do, because that will, go to the audience or, to the individual, however. And people come up to me till this day. Oh, I love what you do. You're great. Do you sing gospel? I get it all the time, every single show, no matter where I sing. Can you do some gospel? Sure, next time I come back or my next show, I can. I do it more with my home cooking band than I do with my blues band.
Sure.
But I do it. And I tell people, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be the nurse, the mom. Actually, we'll start from the beginning. God's child, the mom, the nurse, the singer. Amen. And those are all incorporated into one.
Amen. Amen. So, I particularly enjoyed listening to the whole part about how you broke through the music, like you were behind the stage and then, mm-hmm. They weren't seeing you and you had to come out. And, to me, that's, God's really helping you to become what he wanted you to become,
right.
That's him working through you and doing that and showing you, hey, there's nothing wrong. I got you. I'm going to take care of you here. So, and getting you through that adversity that you were feeling of the stage fright. So, I think that's an important part of your story. And I particularly enjoyed that part. So, Here's something else I'd like you to talk about. I know you're a big advocate for a few different things. Let's start with your nursing. Let's start there. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Okay. My second love of my life. I've always wanted to be a pediatrician and a neurosurgeon, but those didn't work out. So I've always wanted to do something in healthcare. And I started out being an aide and a medical assistant. And then there were two nurses. I worked in an outpatient clinic. And I watched the two nurses, the director of nursing and the lead nurse for the clinics. And they were fantastic. They were smart. They were, you know, on the ball. And I said, when I grow up, of course, I was a, you know, young adult, but I always say, even to this day, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, or I want to do that. And so I said, you know what? I think I can be a nurse. So I talked to the director of nursing and I told her, you know, what I wanted to do. And she said, I think you should do it. I said, why not? So I applied to a nursing school, community college, and I got in. And I knew I'd been out of high school for years, so I had to do prereqs, which was okay with me. Because my favorite subjects were chemistry, and I love biology. So I, you know, did that. And finally, nursing school, graduated in 87. I don't mind saying, because I'm so thankful I'm on this earth as long as I have been. But, and so I became a nurse, and I did different aspects of nursing. I started out medical surgical. If a lot of you nurses, you know, and people, even lay persons, if you know what that means, I'm dealing with different kind of patients. And I was a bedside nurse, IV team nurse. It was great because I used to be a phlebotomist when I was a medical assistant. I loved doing that. Became an IV team nurse. I did home care. Home care was wonderful. Because I just love the patients, especially if they lived in the rural areas. They're like, you know, instead of going this way, go this way. And where I used to live at, I'm used to going in the backwoods and taking the back roads. It didn't bother me. And they would, some of them would always have like coffee, and my favorite were cinnamon donuts ready for me. Aw, you know, so I love home care because I love teaching. Surprise, surprise on that. But I like doing patient teaching, and that was important. So, you know, I had to get the patients to trust me. I could not come into their homes because that's their territory. Yep. And you have to be mindful and respectful of people because you're already invading their space. So, you know, when I went in to teach, whether it's something IV, whether it's something about a drain they had, whether it's something about their medications, their food, although I'm not a dietitian, but I've learned some things from some fabulous dietitians throughout the years, whether it's a social service problem, you know, I'm not a social service worker, but, you know, I had resources that I could connect with the patients. And the one thing that even up till today, the patients appreciate that, A, I know what I'm talking about. And I will admit to patients, if I don't have the answer, I'm not going to be some blubbering idiot, just keep rambling to hear myself talk. I'm going to go find somebody. And if we can't figure out the answer, we're going to come up with something that works best for you. And I do that today. So throughout, and I loved home care, and I had to leave because it was killing my vehicle, but I missed it. And then I just went on and did other things. And then I got into oncology nursing, which is very interesting. Both my parents had cancer and they passed away of cancer. I did some research, pancreatic cancer, and then went on to work at the bedside and dealt with head and neck cancers, the different kind of thyroid cancers, you know, on the surgical side. But I am, now I'm into surgical oncology nursing. I do it outpatient and I work for a fabulous surgeon. He's absolutely wonderful. His bedside manner, his whole demeanor, like as a person, and he takes care of his staff and he does a lot of teaching too, because, the health system I work for, it's a teaching facility, which is great. And I can appreciate that. And we deal with he's a general surgeon who specializes in pancreatic, rectal, and colon cancers. And, you know, I just can't believe how much colon and pancreatic cancers we've seen in young, middle-aged, and older folks. It's terrifying. And being a survivor myself, twice of breast cancer, I tell people, it doesn't matter the type of cancer, it's the word cancer. Yeah. And I said, it's terrifying because now you're like, oh, I got to make money and save more money. I've got to make money. So, you know, how long am I going to live? What am I going to go through? And I can relate to a lot of patients that I have dealt with and I deal with till this day. And I do charity work, singing. Because my time doesn't allow me to volunteer like booths or whatever, or make phone calls, which I wish I could, but I don't have the time. And I tell charities, I would love to commit that way, but my time does not do that. So I go sing, and my favorite, I have a lot of favorites, but there's a thing called Pink Day, and it's in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, every year. I missed last year, but ever since it started, like maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago, my bands have been part of it. And musicians come out, volunteer their time, sing, entertain the crowd. And they raise money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And the person that spearheads it, Sherry Price Jackson, she had posted something the other day. I think so far since its inception, they've raised like over $300,000, which is great.
Wow.
And there's a lot of vendors. People sell things. By the way, I love hats and earrings. So if you sell something, I'll buy it. And it's about supporting the local business, you know, people that, and I've had people across the country, hey, I have this. And I've bought from them paintings, whatever. But that's what I do because that's near and dear to my heart. My youngest is on the autism spectrum, and I have sang for different charity events for that. The veterans, I used to work for the VA some years ago, and I would sing for different events the Pittsburgh VA would host. And I loved doing that. And I would go to the outpatient clinics, the community center, and sing for the veterans. And it was fun because I'm going to tell you, the older people, they're a little sassy. You know, you go in there and sing all this mouth stuff. And they're like, okay, when are you going to sing something? I knew what they were talking about, but I would always be like, what? What do you mean? I said, oh, you mean this. And I'll break out in something, you know, something by B.B. King or what Peggy Lee sang or something, the Beatles or anybody. I'm all over the spectrum. And it's nice. It's just very nice singing to people. For different causes. So,
sure.
You know, but yeah, that's just me in a nutshell.
Awesome. That sounds fun. I mean, hey, it sounds like, it's kind of funny. It seems like your entire life is about helping people for causes that are definitely worthy causes and helping people with that are, can be in a very low part of their life and cancer survivors. And then, you help veterans. I know I saw that on your thing and in your bio. And I was like, that's great. I mean, just, you know, one of the things too, that I always try to emphasize to people is that, you know, it's one thing to believe in God.
Yeah.
And it's another to serve him.
Yes.
And a part of serving him is serving other people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to serve people and we serve people where they're at. Not just, you know, it's not just going and serving in a church pew, you know, being an usher stuff. I'm not saying that those things aren't good. They are.
Right.
But we need to get outside the church and serve. And your life is an example of that. And I just so much appreciate that and listen to your story about that.
Yeah. And it just goes beyond, like you said, it goes beyond the walls of the church or synagogue or whatever you worship. There's a program called Spirit Station that's hosted by Pastor Greg Spencer every Tuesday. He's a retired pastor, because I used to sing at a couple churches he'd pastor at. There are churches till this day who commission me, hey, can you come and sing a couple selections, which I do. You know, one of my bandmates, Mike Houston, I've done it as a duo or trio. And the other person is Jeff Connors. We would go to churches and I'd sing a couple songs. But Pastor Greg, he hosts Spirit Station, and you can find it on Facebook, and it's through Steamworks Creative. Every Tuesday, he has an artist come out, and they'll do several songs, and he gives a message. And it's very nice to listen to all of that, because you have local musicians who come in, do the original stuff, some cover stuff. And it's not about putting anyone down. It's not about the chain of events that's happening in the world right now. It's about how you can bring people together. You do it by music and you do it by the messaging. And Pastor Greg, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, was out sick or something happened. I had to deliver the message. I was terrified. I said, here comes the... And then I said, you know, it's not about me. And he's been trying, as others. He really wants me to get into doing more ministry. And I said, I would love to do that. And I have asked God a few times, okay, Lord, you see what's on the calendar and the plate. What do you want me to do? This ball is in your court. I know you will let me know when it's time, because you always do that. Right when I am so perplexed, so like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to, you know, let the, you know, chips fall where they may. Well, that's not how that works. And he has opened up the door. And I have to tell you, T.S., I have actually been paying attention to all the bricks God's been throwing at my head, or the signals I was going to look at. And I'm like, oh, I like the bricks. I know. Is that what you want me to do? Okay. Oh, because I was a hard-headed child growing up in my early adulthood. Yeah, I was very hard-headed. So I love doing that, and I've learned to appreciate that. I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be. I don't want to be. All I want to do is if I can get through this life, if there's one person out there I can touch by whatever I have done in life and still doing, yay, amen. It's happened, or it's going to happen, or it should be happening.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I love listening to your story. I mean, your story is just awesome. And unfortunately, we're starting to run out of time. So, Ms. Freddie, what I would like you to do is share with our audience, they'd like to get a hold of some of your music. How could they do that?
Oh, absolutely. You can find my music on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Amazon. Just type in my name, Miss Freddie, MissFreddye.
All right. That sounds awesome. Well, I want to say, first of all, thank you for being on the show. It has been great having you on here. And on behalf of myself, Miss Freddie, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's show. And we just want to give a big shout out to the entire country of Brazil, as we have had a lot of downloads from all kinds of different regions in Brazil. Not only Sao Paulo, but across the entire nation. And we just want to thank you guys for tuning into our show and being such big supporters. And we just pray that you guys are not only being impacted by our show, but are going to be impacted by the spreading of the gospel, and that Jesus Christ is going to impact your nation in every possible way. And we just pray for you guys, and pray that evangelism and discipleship will be a big part of not only what's happening there now, but what is to come. And we just pray for you guys, and we encourage you to continue to spread the information about our show, and continue to help us get more supporters in Brazil. And we would love an opportunity at some point to come and visit your country and be able to share our podcast and be able to do it live from Brazil. So without further ado, I just want to say thank you, and we pray for you, and we pray for the spreading of the gospel throughout Brazil, and we thank you for your support. God bless every one of you.